Court reporters hold one of the most important roles in the justice system. We're entrusted with the official records of the courts, and we also have to run our own businesses, which is not something most of us were prepared for. I'm Bryn Seymour, and I invite you to join the discussion about the problems we face and the solutions we create on the unique journey of a stenographer.
Welcome to the Entrepreneurial Court Reporter Podcast.
Hi, Ms. Steno.
Hello, how are you?
I'm good, very excited. How are you?
I'm doing well. Did you have a nice long weekend?
I did, actually, yes. I performed in a concert. How about you?
Oh, how fun. I ate a lot of food and then ate more food. And then ate more food and slept, and it was really nice.
That is awesome. Well, let's... All right. So today, welcome to the Court Reporter Podcast. We're going to talk a little bit about court reporting and your journey to becoming a court reporter, how you learned about it, and then we'll talk about your journey on TikTok and how you got into that. So why don't you first start by telling us a little bit about yourself?
Okay. So my name is Vanessa. I have been a stenographer for 17 years now. So when I graduated, I was trained to be a deposition reporter. So that's what I did when I graduated. And about 2 years into it, I got a random call from a college that was looking for a court captioner. And I was like, sure, I'll give it a whirl. I'll see what that's like. So for a while, I did court captioning and deposition reporting. And I got really busy with the two. So I had to pick which one I wanted to do. And so I picked court captioning. So court captioning is writing real time for deaf or hard of hearing college students in the classroom or remotely. I find it to be very rewarding. I'm providing equal access for them to participate in class. And when they're successful, I feel like I was a part of that. And it helps to push me to just be better and better every day and be more accurate because it's so important. So it's really neat. Stenography is more than just being in the courtroom. It's everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah. Providing captions to the hard of hearing is really important. That's very important work that you're doing. And do you currently do that or was that before?
I do the classroom captioning, but it's mostly remote now. So I still do that a little bit, but not so much on site.
So I'm guessing you liked the CART a little bit better than deposition reporting?
I did. I really liked not having transcripts.
Yes.
The most that I have to do is a lot of clients will like a roughly edited file afterwards. So I just do a quick scan through, a quick spell check, and send the file and I'm done. And I really enjoyed that part of it.
Yeah, I think that's definitely a reason that a lot of court reporters end up switching to CART is because the time management that it requires for depositions, and especially in states like New York, where every single, I know there are some states where you don't, not all of them are ordered, but here in New York and in probably most other states, every single one you have to complete to perfection within at most 10 business days. So it's definitely requires a lot of time management. And on the Court Reporter Podcast, we talk a lot about time management and how to manage your time and how to delegate. And so I was going to ask you about how do you manage your time and how do you, like, do you have any tips on time, saving time with your transcripts? But if you're doing mostly CART, then
yeah,
may not really apply as much. But I mean, if you have an answer for that, I would love to hear it.
Yeah, I do. So I primarily work from home, and that can be tricky for some people because there are a lot of distractions when you work from home. It can be a hard adjustment to kind of ignore those distractions and remember that, you know, you're working, like you have a job that you have to do. So luckily for me, my office is upstairs and the rest of my house is downstairs. So upstairs is work, downstairs is living. So upstairs, I have fewer distractions and I just live up here so I don't get distracted. So having a designated space that's just for work in a place that maybe has the least amount of distractions is pretty good.
So how did you learn about court reporting?
So I wanted to be a paralegal. And so I was looking into a trade school because I didn't really want to go to like a community college because I knew that I would have to take a lot of courses that didn't have anything to do with being a paralegal. And so I was looking at a trade school and I found out, well, I still needed those college credits that I didn't have. So my options were to go back to a community college and get like a degree before I could even enroll in the paralegal program or find something else. And so I was like, okay, I don't think being a paralegal is going to be a good fit for me for all of the college. And the person I was talking to pulled out a steno machine and was like, hey, have you ever heard of court reporting? And I looked at that machine and I was like, sign me up. 21 years old. I had no idea what court reporting was. I didn't know what the machine was, but I was like, I can type really fast on a keyboard. I got this.
So you didn't even like get to touch it or try it out. You're just like, sign me up.
Yeah. I was like, sign me up. I was like, let's do this. Like, how, when can I start?
Wow. Like how did you get to that conclusion just by looking at the steno machine?
I'm a really good hands-on learner and it looked fun. I was like, that machine looks really cool. I don't know how it works, but.
Did you ever see people in the courtroom like typing on it or you just kind of put two and two together and you were like, okay, these are the keys and you learn how to.
Yeah. I was just like, okay, use this weird machine to type up what people say. And that sounds really fun. So I'm like, sign me up.
Okay. So you signed up immediately.
I signed up.
And how was school? Did you catch on quickly? Did you finish fast? How did that go?
So school went really well. I did really well in theory. My program was very self-paced and self-taught. So there were instructors there, but they were not interactive.
Okay.
So I had a place to go in a classroom to sit in. But on the first day of school, they brought me a stenograph bag that had a steno machine, a tripod, steno paper, an ink cartridge, some cassette tapes, some books, and they were like, have fun, and just kind of left the room. So we were kind of all staring at each other on the first day of class, figuring out like, okay, so the machine goes on this tripod, the paper must go in this thing, but where does this thing connect on the machine? And then an ink cartridge. So it was kind of a fun learning experience.
So you guys kind of worked together. I'm sure that was a good bonding experience.
Yeah, it was. And then we didn't know, like, do we listen to the cassette tapes first and then read through the book? Or do we do them at the same time? I've heard that things are a lot more structured now. So that makes me happy.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, my school was very structured. I don't remember having to really figure that kind of thing out. We had our theory classes where the teacher would stand in the front and just teach us word by word, like how to write them on the machine. And it was very hands-on from the beginning, which I loved about it too.
Yes. Yes. I loved that part about it because it was just easier for me to learn that way, to be so hands-on. But I have a funny story about that. Because I didn't look into court reporting, didn't really know what it was. I saw the machine, signed me up. I started. I was 21, super young. I was actually pressing one key at a time on the steno machine instead of cording because there was no instruction.
Wow.
So I was like, okay, for cat, I pressed K, A, T, you know, like you would on a regular keyboard. And I did that for an entire week. And I sat in front of the teacher who didn't notice for an entire week. When I went to test out of my first theory lesson, he was like, whoa, 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 what are you doing? You're pressing one key at a time. And I'm like, and? Like, what's the problem? And so then I was like devastated when I found out like I'd spent an entire week doing everything wrong. And so I was like, maybe this isn't for me after all. Like, maybe it's not my thing. So I had two choices. I could quit, which is what I wanted to do. I was only a week in, like super easy, just quit, walk away. Or I could spend my whole weekend learning that whole 1 week lesson over a weekend, test out of that on the following Monday. And that's what I did. I showed up Monday, I tested out of it, and I was just kind of like, okay, I'm on my own to figure stuff out.
Wow.
So it was a rocky start and I'm really glad that I didn't quit, but I wanted to quit. So I was only a weekend and it was fine. Nobody knew me. I could walk away, like it'd be fine.
Glad you didn't quit. So how many of your classmates did you graduate with? I mean, I know it's kind of like people graduate like one by one and it's not really together because everyone has their own pace, but like,
right.
You know, the dropout rate is it's like 90%. So I'm curious to know.
I think we had a pretty small class, maybe like 12 to 15 people, I would say. And out of that, there are two of us that made it and are working out of my particular class. So,
okay. So now back to the video question, because the school topic actually leads right into that perfectly. So there was one video, I mentioned this to you when we were chatting on Facebook, and I told you about the video that I saw where you were typing entrepreneur, the word entrepreneur.
Yes.
I was really shocked that you typed it out with four strokes. So it was entrepreneur. And you told me that's how you learned to do it in theory. So I'm curious, like, do you use brief forms at all?
Not really. No.
I write entrepreneur in one stroke.
I found some really good briefs from some other amazing court reporters that were like, listen, this is how I do it. And I'm like, I could probably remember that.
Wow. So your theory didn't teach briefs at all.
So my theory was different. And then it taught how to write everything out. And then it also taught a brief form.
Oh,
and okay. for me, like, I could never remember the brief. And by the time I remembered the brief, I could have just written that word out like five different times.
Uh-huh.
And so a few of them stuck with me and like jury charge, like, you know, a few of them stuck with me, but not a whole lot. It's just easier the way my brain works. I can just write it out faster than I can remember what the brief is.
Yeah, I know. That's the thing. That's the tricky thing about brief forms. How do you explain what a stroke is?
I kind of explain it as like a syllable. That's kind of how it is to me, since we write in syllable.
That's the
so perfect. Like one stroke would be one syllable, I guess. I don't know.
Like a sound, but it's phonetic. So yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly how I would explain it. So thank you for that.
Oh, you're welcome.
Mine is like, it's really hard for me to explain court reporting because I feel like people ask us questions a lot. And they want to know how it works, and it's difficult to explain. How do you explain it to your followers? How do you explain it to people, like, if you had to sum it up?
So usually when I have tried to explain it in a video for like TikTok, I just end up making people even more angry and confused. So I just try different ways of explaining it to see if maybe I can get one in there that might stick. Because I try to explain that, you know, we write by sound, we write by syllable, and then I give examples. And because the machine shorthand, how it is, people get mad that like PW makes a B and, you know, stuff like that. So it ends up being really fun. And I just try and I think it's fun.
That's awesome. And has there been one that has worked, or you're still working on finding the right one?
I'm still working on finding the right one.
Okay, cool. Well, let me know when you do find it.
Yes, I will definitely let you know.
Okay, so getting into your TikTok journey. So how long have you been using TikTok?
So I think that it's been close to 3 years now, maybe.
Is TikTok sure like 3 years old?
Oh my gosh. So a little bit of a backstory. It used to be called Musical.ly.
Oh.
And Musical.ly was a platform where people just like danced to music. And
that is what TikTok is kind of known for.
Yeah. So, and some of the dances were like professional dancers, you know, and others were like my niece and I, you know, where she was trying to make it choreographed and it just didn't work. So my niece created a Musical.ly for me, and I had 11 followers and they were like all her friends. And we just posted dancing videos, and I didn't even know how to use it. Like, she did everything. And when the pandemic hit, social media was so negative everywhere. Like, I'm always online, and like being on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, everything was just so sad. And I was like, well, what about this Musical.ly? Like, I haven't been on this Musical.ly for a while. And I was like, oh, it's TikTok. I don't know what that is. So I went into it, and it was like all these cute kitten videos and puppy videos and all this happy stuff. And I was like, this place is awesome. So I was like, I'm going to stay here for a while. You know, I've got this account. And then I noticed that like, there wasn't any stenography on there really. And I was like, Well, I wonder, I only have 11 followers. They're all my niece's friends. So it's like a great time to post a video and just, you know, see if my 11 followers like it. So what had happened is that I was working one day and my husband took video of me captioning in my home office. And I didn't know, because it was like, it was a hard job that I was captioning. So I was just like laser focused on the job. And afterwards he showed it to me and I was like, oh my gosh, you know, this is a really cool video. And then I was like, wait, I already have a video I could put on this TikTok for my 11 followers that are my niece's friends. So I was like, I'll put that one up because I already have a video. So I don't have to try to figure out how to make one in here, you know, in the TikTok app. And so I posted it, and then it didn't really make sense because it was just this random video of me like captioning. And so I was like, well, I'll add captions to it because I'm a captioner, you know, and kind of explain, you know, what I'm doing and that sort of thing. And I posted it and I text my niece and I was like, I just posted my first TikTok. And she's like, oh no, you know, and she texts me back and she's like, that is so cringy. Like, why'd you put that on there? And she started like deleting her friends from my account because she's like,
oh my gosh.
And then she's like, wait, it has like 10,000 views. And I'm like, I don't know what that means.
Oh.
And she's like, wait, you have like comments and stuff and you have like 1,000 likes. And I'm like, I don't know what any of this means, you know? And she's like, it's going viral. And I'm like, I don't know what that means. So that first video got like over 400,000 views and I think like 15,000 likes and like 300 comments. So just like that. It was really, really cool.
Wow. Like the world really doesn't know about court reporting.
They don't. And they find it fascinating. And I was like, I think I just found a thing, you know, I was like, but I'm like, I don't know how to make videos and I don't know how to work TikTok. And I was like, I don't know, but I'm like, I found a thing.
That's amazing. Okay. And then, so then you just continued to make more videos about court reporting?
Yeah, it was really nice because that first video, I had like 300 comments and it was pretty much all questions. Wow. And my niece was like, well, you can answer the questions in a video. And I was like, well, that's cool. How do you do that? You know? And so I had like all this stuff that I could make content out of. I just needed a little help from the younger generation to show me how to, you know, actually make a video in TikTok and do all of that stuff with it. So, yeah.
Yeah. I have a TikTok and I posted a couple of videos and I'm like, the amount of time I have my attention span to try to figure this out is very, very minimal.
Yes.
You had someone showing you the ropes. So that's awesome. So tell us about your most viral video or.
I think my most viral video is 4.6 million views.
Wow.
I think it has over 400,000 likes. It's a really silly video to me anyway. It's just a video like I do typing test on my court reporting machine and then I do one on my Caracorder and then I do one on like one of my Steno keyboards and just show the different speeds and it blew up. It was really basic and boring, but I guess TikTok liked it. So.
That's not boring. Okay. So tell us what are these three things? Okay. So, I mean, we know about the Steno machine.
Okay. I was like, do you need me to pull that out? Because I've got it right by me, but I'm assuming that we probably all know what that is.
Yeah. Well, I mean, since this is mostly an audio podcast, it's probably.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I know the best way to explain court reporting is to show, like, that's literally the only way people can fully understand it is just to see a demo of us doing it. But yeah,
sorry. It was a test with my court reporting machine. And then it was a test with my Caracorder, which is my regular keyboard. And what? So
wait a minute.
Okay. So this is really cool. This
TikTok.
I found it on TikTok. Stay off of TikTok if you don't want like hobbies.
Oh my gosh. No,
that's a Caracorder. And so what's really cool about it is that it does character entry one letter at a time, like a regular keyboard, but then it also does corded entry like our Steno machines. So wait, I can press multiple
recorded
corded entry.
Oh, okay.
Like our Steno machines.
Right.
I can press multiple keys at once to output entire words, just like we do on our Steno machine.
Wow.
And so I found it on TikTok and like 2 years ago. And it's been my primary computer keyboard for 2 years.
Wait, but how many keys does that have?
Oh, gosh. I might need some help. 2018.
Oh, thank you, Maverick. Maverick says 18 total, 5 directions per switch. Okay, so I was thinking that that was kind of like a Steno machine that you could connect to your computer to type, like as your regular keyboard, which I guess you're saying that that is what it is, but...
Yeah.
But do you have to learn separately how to type on that keyboard because it looks very different.
Yeah, it has a different layout, much like our Steno machine. And so I didn't think I'd be able to learn that because Steno was easy for me, but that was 17. Well, if you count school, it was 21 years ago. So I'm a little bit older now. So I was like, I don't know if I can learn something new, but I'm going to try.
Wow, that is so cool.
For me, like typing on a regular keyboard is actually like physically painful for me. Like it hurts my fingers. It hurts my wrists. Yeah. So I had been trying different things to try and find something that was more comfortable. And I found it. So yay.
So how do you, I mean, can you use it with a laptop or do you have to just like use, I mean, cause it's an extra thing, I guess. So you can't attach it to your computer and make it like part of it.
So it is just like an external keyboard. You can plug it into your computer and it's ready to go. No software.
Cool. And you can use the Steno theory, but you just have to learn the different positioning of the keys. Is that right?
This is actually all like a regular keyboard. So it doesn't have any Steno. Huh. So it's just like typing on a regular keyboard. It's just that the keys are in different places on the Caracorder versus on a regular keyboard.
But it's so many less keys.
It is so many less keys. It's very cool though, because it also has a chord library that's a lot like our dictionaries. So like I can add custom words to that for my Caracorder. Mm-hmm. So I have like things like my email address is a chord. It's a really quick, like press two buttons, you know, and there's my email address.
Oh my gosh. So. This is really mind blowing. My mind is boggled right now. I don't, that's really cool though. Okay. So what's the third device?
And so the other one is an actual Steno keyboard that was created by somebody in the Plever community.
Plever.
Yeah. Plever designed a free open source computer aided transcription software. And with that, they have made their own devices.
Oh, okay. So that looks more like a Steno machine.
So this is a mini Steno machine, kind of. It's called a Uni. Uh-huh. And somebody from their community 3D printed these Steno keycaps for me because they normally just have regular keyboard keycaps on them.
For those listening, she's holding up a flat keyboard, but it's in the shape of a Steno keyboard and it has exactly the same amount of keys and it looks exactly like a Steno machine, except the two sides are split a little bit more than an actual Steno machine. And then the other one was two round circles with like 9 keys on each circle. Yeah. Okay. So that one that you were just holding up, the flat one that looks exactly like a Steno keyboard, what does that also connect to a computer and you can type with it?
Yeah, so you do have to have Plever installed to use this, but I was able to bring over like my Case Catalyst dictionary and everything else. So it's literally like a backup Steno machine.
Really? What?
So it's very cool.
I'm blown away right now.
I have a couple of them because I have a keyboard problem now because of TikTok. So.
Oh my gosh. And which one do you like the best?
Well, I use my Caracorder like a regular keyboard. So if I'm not using my Steno machine working, then I'm using my Caracorder.
So do you think that it's important for court reporters to like to get active on TikTok or to learn about it and also start promoting the profession? Like, what do you think about that?
I think it is. I think the more that we promote it, the more people we can get interested in pursuing it. I'm trying to make it look fun and cool.
Yeah. So you're definitely succeeding at that.
So I, because I think that it can be kind of perceived as something like boring, you know, because it's been around for so long and like, we still have fun, you know, we can still have fun doing it.
Yeah, totally. I mean, it is definitely really cool. I mean, most people, I didn't know what court reporting was until someone was like, you should look into court reporting. And I was like, what is that?
Yeah, exactly.
People don't really know about it. And they don't know that it exists.
Right.
How do you think we can solve the dropout rate? Do you think there's a solution for that?
That one is so tough. So I think that a really big issue that we have is that schools are giving misleading information about the time it takes to finish school.
Really?
So I know for me personally, I was told it was an 18-month program. It took me 4 years. I almost dropped out at 18 months because at 18 months, I was nowhere near 225 words per minute. So again, I thought maybe this isn't for me because it's an 18-month program and I'm nowhere near being finished. And I know that that's an issue with a lot of other programs advertising, you know, you can do it in 2 years or less, which there are a lot of people that do that. But there are a lot of people who it also takes longer. Mm-hmm. So I think being more transparent about what to expect might help new students have a better understanding of what the process is going to look like.
Okay, so it took you about 4 years. Were you also working or did you focus 100% on school?
Nope, I was 21. I was living at home with my parents. I worked part-time at night. So I went to school 5 days a week and it was a year-round program. So it was through the summer as well.
You worked hard and you did the work and you were diligent, like, but it took 4 years because it's hard. It's not easy.
Right, right. Because I think 180 to 225 was 2 years, if I'm being honest.
180 to
225.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, technically, you could have started working at 180.
Yeah, I don't, maybe back then people didn't talk that fast, but I know like today there's no way that I'd be able to keep up at only 180.
I know that there was one, I can't remember his name. There was one guy that went to my school and he got stuck and he got frustrated at 180. And so he somehow found a way to start working. In the state of New York, that's not like illegal or anything.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So he started working and just like, I don't even know if he ever finished school, but he's like a working court reporter, loving it, doing great. So
that's so awesome. I know like in the state I live in, you have to have a certification, which is at 200 words per minute. Mm-hmm. So if you're only at 180, you're probably not going to be able to pass that state certification to start working, unfortunately.
What state are you in again?
Washington.
Washington. Okay. So you have to take like a statewide test. Is that called the...
That one is the Certified Court Reporter, the CCR.
CCR. Okay.
So we had to be different and have it not be CSR for some reason.
Interesting.
Everybody is CSR, I feel like. And then we're over here CCR.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I know in California it's CSR. I don't know. Because in New York, it's so weird. They don't require like a specific certification. You just graduate from school and start working. Or in this other guy's case, you don't even graduate from school and you start working.
And you start working. Yeah, no, I think that's great.
I mean, it's weird because you wouldn't think of, I would think of New York as having higher standards than that. But hey, who am I to judge? I don't know. I mean, I do kind of wish that it was a little bit of a higher standard here because I think that would be a nice push to kind of get those certifications and get those higher level certifications that I've been talking about on the podcast. Like I do have the goal of getting those, but it just hasn't been necessary for me.
Right. I totally understand.
So like how does one go about starting their own TikTok channel?
Yeah, that's a really good question. But I will say there's one person from the talk that I gave. She's 67 years old and she is now posting videos on TikTok. So because of coming to my seminar. So I'm like, yay.
You should do a seminar online so that other people can join remotely or like,
it would be so fun.
Share it or something.
Yeah. It would be so fun. Like this slide deck that I put together for it is a lot of fun. It's a very interactive, it was a very interactive session. So it would be a lot of fun.
Maybe we can plan something in the future and
yeah,
a seminar.
Yeah, that would be so fun.
So your videos look really good and really professional. Do you have like a tripod or how do you record your videos? Because you have it set up so that you can really see different angles and you can see like your hands typing and then you can see the screen. How do you make that happen?
Okay, so this is really funny. I used to stack boxes on top of each other to like hold my phone when I made videos. So I would be sitting on the floor, like writing on the floor because I was like using boxes as a stand. So I had to like be where my phone was. And I ended up buying just a really cheap ring light. So I had a place to hold my phone, but I still couldn't get like a good angle of me writing on my machine.
Yeah,
and so what I do is I have my big screens that are behind me, my big monitors. Excuse me. I'm sitting back. I have my ring light in front of me, and then I have my steno machine in front of my ring light. So in my videos, I'm actually like stretched and bent over like as far as possible while I'm writing on my machine in my videos.
Oh my gosh. You should take
that's the best way that I've found, because I am not putting a lot of like time or effort into my setup because I do this for fun, and that works and it makes good videos. So
it looks like you have like a very professional setup. I'm like, I'm watching your videos. Like, how did she do that?
So I'm just like stretched, like as far as I can.
Wow. So you have to kind of
over my ring light, and then my machine's in front of my ring light.
You have to kind of like strain yourself a little bit for the short amount of time that you're taking that video.
Yep, absolutely. But
you still manage to type everything quickly and accurately, which is very impressive.
Yeah, especially because of how far away my machine actually is from me.
Yeah.
I'm like stretching for it.
One of your videos was reposted by the Bare Naked Ladies, is the name of the band.
Yeah.
I watched that video and I saw that you typed that extremely fast. I don't think I could have done it that fast unless I had practiced it like a million times, created like huge brief forms. But so wow, yeah, you're very talented.
Oh, thank you. That one was really exciting because that was like the first time that someone like famous, which most of my friends don't know who they are, but that's okay. They're famous to me. had actually like watched a video that I had done and like acknowledged it. So I took like 24 hours before I could even respond because I just didn't know what to do. I was just like, oh my gosh. You know, I was like, they reposted my video and they said nice things and I need to do something, but I don't know what, and I'm freaking out. So I'm just going to wait.
I know that one, yeah.
So that one was really exciting.
That's awesome. I can't imagine like seeing that they reposted your video.
Yeah. Yeah. They said that I was hot like wasabi. So that was really awesome.
The song, right?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
I need Bare Naked Ladies fans out there. Go check out the video. Well, of course, we'll link everything in the description so that everyone can check out your channel. I know I have another question. Hold on. Let me think. It was just on the top of my head.
No worries.
Okay. So do you have your RPR?
I do not. I do not have any NCRA certs.
Okay. Me neither.
So for me as a captioner, my skills are assessed by my captioning, and from what I found, a lot of captioning companies are less worried about what certs you have and more worried about how you write real time. Mm-hmm. That's the only reason that that's the only reason that I haven't gotten any. So I have my state one for deposition work. But that's about it.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to really put the time into it if you don't actually need it.
Yeah, and for me personally, in my situation, it wouldn't do anything different for me. Just for my personal situation, I haven't like lost jobs by not having them. I wouldn't get more money for having them. I wouldn't get more work for having them.
Yeah, it's not required.
Yeah, so it just. For me, that's just for me personally. I know it's different for everyone.
Right, right. So was it nerve-wracking for you the first time that you did CART? Like, because I know a lot of people are nervous to do real time and they're afraid of people seeing what comes up on the screen. So how was that for you your first time?
Yeah, it was terrifying, and even more so because I always said when I was in school that I would go back to my retail job before I would ever write real time. My school did not focus on real time. They didn't even really mention CART or broadcast or captioning or anything. It was just strictly like deposition work. And so I was like, I'm never going to write it because I'm not going to need to, not going to need to know real time. So I learned how to write real time on the job. So I don't recommend that at all.
Did it work? I mean, it worked for you, right?
It worked. And it's the only way I would have ever even tried, writing real time, was just kind of being kind of thrown right in and seeing how I do.
that's always what I'm hoping happens to me, because I know that I'm the same as you. I'm like, that's the only way I'm gonna really learn, is just do it. So do you have any like words of encouragement for newer court reporters or students who are struggling?
For the newer students, I know it's hard, but I would like them to not focus so much on the time that it is taking them to get where they want to be. Because for me, it took 4 years, and out of a 17-year career, that 4 years was nothing, like nothing for the amazing career that I've had that's still going. So focus less on that time. You'll get there.
Okay. So where can everyone find you?
I am Miss Steno on TikTok and Miss Stenographer on Instagram.
Oh, okay. I don't think I have you on Instagram. I'll have to find you.
Okay. Awesome.
Okay. Well, it was so nice chatting with you, Vanessa. Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you so much for inviting me to join. It's been so much fun with you tonight.
Of course. I hope we can do another one in the future.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, have a good night.
Okay, you too. Bye. Okay.